Tonight, welcome, because we are doing what is considered up on the screen, discovering your spiritual gifts. And this is a little mini seminar. I'm doing it in three parts. So the next three tonight and the next two Wednesday nights. So it'll be in three parts, but each part covers something different. Tonight, we do have, and it's very much a key to discovering your spiritual gifts, but it's important. But next week, we actually go into another part, and that is how your behavior works with spiritual gifts, meaning that you have your own God-given way of doing things. And so we'll be testing on that next week. And then the following week, putting it all together. So tonight is a very key part of it all. And I would like you to turn with me as we start tonight to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And I want to share with you and read verses 1 through 7. And I'm going to skip down to verse 17. You're going to need a pencil or a pen tonight for the testing portion. If you don't have one, while we're waiting to turn there, would you raise your hand so we can have one of the ushers get you one? Everybody got one? Okay, good. So we're set so far. And you have with you tonight an outline on the front, and on the back is going to be part of an answer sheet, so don't write on it, because you're going to need that with the questions I'm going to be putting up on the screen tonight in just a little while. But right now, we want to go into the background and using the spiritual gifts and what they're all about, just an introduction to this. So go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. You should have found it by now. And then I want to read verses 1 through 7 to start. It says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all." Then Paul goes into an area to talk about the body of Christ, how the body has several functions and we're all connected there. But I want you to skip down to verse 18. He says, "But now God has set the members, each one of them in the body, just as he pleased." So the recognition then that God's involved in all of these areas of spiritual gifts and spiritual ministries. And they're all part of our life. It's a God-given gift. And the reality to know these is important because it will help you to not only discover it, but to put it into practice. Because I personally believe that when we get to the judgment, when after the church is taken up in the air to meet the Lord in the air and we go to be with the Lord, that that's a time of rewards judgment. And so it's according to what you have done that God gave you to do. So these can certainly play a very vital role, and I believe they will, in the rewards that God gives to us. And so, therefore, it's important to know how God has truly gifted you so that you can be faithful to those areas. And secondly, you might already be doing them, and you just didn't realize that you had that gift. And some of you might realize tonight that you didn't have that gift, and you've been doing it anyhow. And so I know there's not going to be any minuses in heaven at the rewards judgment, because God is going to reward us according to our faithfulness to whatever he's given us to do, whether it be these gifts or whatever way that we can please him. And so it is a blessing to discover them and know them for many different reasons. Now, I'm just in my introduction, part one is going to be tonight, introduction to spiritual gifts and also assessing your spiritual gifts. And that's why that question and answer sheet is on the back of, the answer sheet is on the back of that outline at the beginning, or the blank page at the beginning, and we'll come to that in a while. Secondly, next week we're going to learn to discover our spiritual and behavioral style, and then also from there we're going to assess then our probable behavioral styles, and we'll be using a system called DISC at that time. Some of you may be familiar with it. And then thirdly, the third week is on 12:16, understanding your spiritual gifts in the body of Christ, and then using your spiritual gifts in the body and really helping you to understand how you can use them. So putting this all together, I just want to give you a little bit more background to introduce this. This tool, some of what we're using tonight, is part of a greater, more comprehensive tool that I did a seminar and conference in 2004 at Calvary Chapel Christian Center in Brea when we were there. So it's been a long time. And a long time waiting, but this tool I had really been a license to use when I took classes on behavioral sciences to analyze behavior. And then with that, I was certified, and I met a wonderful gentleman who was the main instructor, and it was Dr. Robert Johnson Smith II. Mr. Johnson Smith holds 4 earned degrees, including an MBA, from Eastern University, a doctorate of ministry from the Lutheran Theological Seminary in Philadelphia. He's a certified behavioral analyst, and he does coaching and training in that area, upon which he was my instructor as well. But he's an entrepreneur, he's been a pastoral coach, he's a published author in different occasions, and he's the founder of Clergy U, our university, a consulting training company for pastors and clergy leaders, and the creator of what's called the DMSI. That is the Distinctive Ministry Survey Information Tool. And so what he did is he took the gifts of the Spirit, the ministry gifts primarily, and he incorporated them into certain areas that would define how they're being used. And then it would be easy for people then to see, like, wow, that's something I feel very close to and connected to, and so then you could mark that in such a way that that might be part of what you have been gifted with. And then on the other hand, it shows you by the time we're done tonight, prayerfully, that you will know which ones you're not really gifted in, per se. So this isn't an exact science. It is spiritually connected, but it has a scientific component to it. And so it does give you the ability to really kind of work your way through and find out what you have been gifted with. So there are 3 steps to the completion of it, and that's why I've broken it up into 3 parts. But I can tell you this, the second part next week, the DISC system, is used greatly in the world of the business world and corporate world. The DISC is also used in law enforcement times to test personalities and that sort of thing, as well as in various military and government issues. So it has a lot of connections. So the DISC being used or incorporated now as Dr. Smith brought it in is being used to really help you to understand you, how you work with things, how you do things. So putting that together with your ministry gifts will help you in a lot of ways. And so the first question that I need to ask you then, what if God didn't want you? And didn't want to gift you, didn't want to do anything. Well, there's many reasons why God would not want you, but don't worry, you're in good company. He loves us, and it's not a matter of wanting us. He reached out to us, and he's gifted us, and he brought us into salvation in Jesus Christ. But when you think about it from your own vantage point, you realize my shortcomings. But you have to remember some of these great people in the Bible. Moses stuttered. David's armor didn't fit him. John Mark was rejected by Paul. Hosea's wife was a prostitute. Amos' only training was in the school of a fig tree pruning. Jacob was a liar. David had an affair. Solomon was too rich. Abraham was too old. David was too young. Timothy had ulcers. Peter was afraid of death. Lazarus was dead. John was self-righteous. Jesus was too poor to some people. Naomi was a widow. Paul was a murderer, so was Moses. Jonah ran from God. Miriam was a gossip. Gideon and Thomas both doubted. And Jeremiah was depressed and suicidal. Elijah was burned out. John the Baptist was a loudmouth. Martha was a worrywart. Mary was lazy. Samson had long hair. Noah got drunk. And did I mention that Moses had a short fuse? So did Peter, Paul, and, well, lots of other people we all might know, even in here tonight, in present company. So all of them, if you looked at qualification, you say, well, how would God choose them? Why? Wouldn't he choose everybody just perfect? And no. You see, the perfection that we have, if it be, is really coming from the Lord. And he makes us righteous. When we come to him and have faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, then he puts his righteousness upon us. Not because we're so gifted or we have so many abilities, because people always think because a person has an ability naturally, then that must be the person that God would use in this capacity. Well, we don't see that biblically. What we see is God taking ordinary people with ordinary problems and doing extraordinary work. And that's the point I want us to focus on. But the beautiful thing is God doesn't require a job interview. So you're not going through an interview tonight. And he doesn't hire and fire like a lot of bosses, because he's more than dad and he's more than a boss. He is our Heavenly Father, and who loves us, who cares about us. In fact, in all of these things that he does, Satan would say, "You're not worthy." And of course, we would say, well, maybe that's the case. But Jesus said, "So what? I am worthy, and my worthiness I put upon you." And that's the beautiful thing that God has done for us all. He doesn't calculate what you did in your past. That's not the important issue, especially since you've come to the Lord. In fact, he's erased that record, so to speak. And he did it all by the new covenant that we have in Jesus Christ. So we need to step out of our limitations, and we need to understand that God will enable us in all of these areas. And so tonight, as we begin this, just putting it into perspective, I want to share the various areas of gifts. I can tell you that by my own study of gifts over many different years, that there are several of them that you may or may not be familiar with. The first grouping that I want to mention is what's called leadership gifts. Now, these are not in our test, per se, tonight. Only a couple are. And that is apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. The fourfold ministry is what Paul wrote in his letter to the Ephesians. And there's four of them. Note that. Secondly, the ministry gifts of the Spirit are in Romans chapter 12, verses 6 through 8. And there are seven of them. And in those seven, there is prophecy, ministry, teaching, exhorts or exhortation, giving, leads or administration, and mercy. Those seven we will be dealing with tonight, every one of them. And you'll see them a little bit more in just a few minutes when we get to that point. Now, there are what's called, or beyond this, is spiritual gifts. So far we have four, we have seven. That's what? 7-11. Okay, that's 11. Then we got the spiritual gifts that come out of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And there are nine of them. And there's actually the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, faith, or it's called special faith, is my definition to add to that. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, right? Well, there are people, though, that God gifts supernaturally a gift of faith, but it doesn't stay with them all the time, although faith does. But a gift of faith comes at a supernatural moment, at a supernatural gift that God gives to certain people to do something that is truly extraordinary. So the reality, this faith goes beyond your natural faith. And sometimes our natural faith is quite strong because we've been in the Word a lot. Amen? And therefore, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God, you can have a very strong faith. But this goes beyond that. And then the area of gifts of healings. Well, notice it says plural when you were looking at some point at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 11, you would have found gifts of healings. It's pluralized. Because it doesn't say gifts of healers. Because some people have taken that out of its context and they tried to say, "I have the gift of being a healer." And then they think they can heal everybody. Well, that's not the way the Bible says it. It's called gifts. There's many gifts of healings. And God gives them out in a plural form. Not necessarily to the person that is going to be the one who is up in front of everybody, but it's going to be more of the recipient. And in some cases, God does do it through the person that is administering this, and by praying for the sick and so on, the gifts of healings can work through that person. So we're not going to be dealing with these particular gifts in 1 Corinthians 12. There's only one or two of them that we'll make mention of. And then we have the working of miracles. What is that? That's a real miracle. A lot of things that happen in our life are extraordinary. I'll deal with this on the third night when I'm going to talk specifically about miracles. Because a lot of times we call something a miracle that isn't a miracle. And to be a miracle, it's got to come outside of our natural ways of seeing things done. It's got to come outside of that. It's got to be a divine intervention in the natural realm of something with a work of divine work of God. So it's outside of the normal. And normal could be there's a lot of things that happened to us and we might have been healed, and what we received was more of a gift of healing than necessarily what we would sometimes call a miracle. So it all depends. Miracles can work even in the gifts of healings. So then we have the gift of prophecy. The gift of prophecy is listed twice. It's listed once in 1 Corinthians 12 and once in Romans chapter 12. So thereby, when we do this count, I'm counting the full nine, but I also take in my own mind and I subtract one, for the gift of prophecy is listed twice. And then you have discerning of spirits. Some people want to call this discernment, as though they have the ability to judge other people. No, actually, discerning of spirits is what it's called. It's judging the spirit, whether it be a human spirit or a natural spirit in this person's life, or a demonic spirit in that person's life, or a godly spirit in that person's life. So it's an actual gift of discerning, judging the spirits, so to speak. Not judging the spirits of alcohol, judging the spirits of holy or unholy or natural. It's a very important gift, and we will see some of these definitions, by the way, and what I'm going to give you in a little while. So you'll have them with to go home with tonight. And so then there's different kinds of tongues that's listed in 1 Corinthians 12. And what it means is simply that. It's not your normal language. It's a language that God gives beyond your natural language. And something you didn't learn. Now, some people can speak four and five languages. I have a good friend in Israel who can speak four fluently. But the reality is, that would not be the gift of tongues then if he spoke in a language that was different than what he had learned. So it's an unlearned language, but it's something that God, by the Holy Spirit, gives us. And then these are simple definitions, and then we need to know the interpretation if it's used publicly. So if it's used around other people, the speaking in other tongues, we need to know what was said. So God put, in 1 Corinthians 12, the gift of interpretation of tongues. It's not the gift of translation. It's interpretation, because a translation would be a word-for-word translation. But the interpretation would be the idea or the thought, the concept that was said by that person. So it doesn't have to cover every single word. So sometimes somebody speaks in another tongue and they're speaking something in a repetitious form or over and over, and then the person with the interpretation would follow that, and hopefully they would be providing the interpretation, not necessarily the actual word by word by word. And so it would be in concept form in some cases. In some cases it can be word for word, but I don't want to confuse you on that. Then there's another area of gifts, and I call them other probable ministry gifts. We will be dealing with these tonight too. And there are, within them, there are six major ones: intercession, witnessing, spiritual capacitation, means God gives certain people the capacity to do things, and then also craftsmanship. We see in Scripture where God used certain people, gave them the gift and the building the temple and some of the things that were used in the temple. Well, they didn't have that by natural means. God told them exactly how to do it, what to do, and he gave them the capacity to do it. And so some of these gifts work in the natural world in our life today. So craftsmanship comes under spiritual capacitation. God gives you the capacity. And those references I gave there are references that tell you how that is used precisely, and that you are to be faithful with what God gives you. Underneath that category is also creative communication. Thereby, God sometimes gifts people with spiritual music, to write music. And that is not necessarily, you say, well, that's natural. Well, it may or may not be. It may be what the Holy Spirit has given them to do. And you'll hear the authors of some of our popular contemporary Christian music tell you, I didn't know what I was going to write. I didn't have any idea. And I sat down, I was going through this, and I just like God spoke to me. Well, that would be an example of that. And so the spiritual music, and then prose, spiritual prose, writing, spiritual concepts. Well, some people can sit down and write. Does that mean that's the gift? It could very well mean that. And then, of course, there's poetry. Some people write poetry. And to me, you would have to be anointed by God to write poetry. And then I'd have to be anointed by God to read it, because I don't always like to read poetry, except when I do. And there's some people who really have that gift. I don't want to minimize that, that God gave them that gift and they use it quite well. And I've known people who have it, and then they come and give it to me. And I don't want to belittle that, because when they feel that God gave them that, I read it. Okay, so I'm sorry if I misdirected you on that idea. But then there's helps, fourthly. And there's a gift of helps. Is that the same as a gift of serving? No, it's got a little bit different distinction. It's mentioned differently in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28. He didn't say the gift of serving there. He said the gift of helps. Do all have the gift of helps? No, everybody doesn't. And then fifthly, administration is used also in Romans, but here it has a reference and it's used differently. And then hospitality. And we should all be hospitable, every one of us in the body of Christ. However, there are those who have been gifted with it. And believe me, you'll know it when they're around, because they're always doing something to make everybody comfortable. So then, you put all those together, and then you got the fruit of the Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit, oh, I guess I had a second part there, which I read and I didn't give to you. But Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23 lists the nine fruits of the Spirit. They are not gifts, but they do come from God. But they're not listed under charismatic or charisma or charis as though they're gifts. These are fruit of the Spirit, meaning when you're walking with God and the Holy Spirit dwells in your life, these fruits should come out of your life. They're fruit. And God's planted you in the body of Christ. There should be fruit in your life. And so love. Some tried to say love is a spiritual gift. I don't have that gift of love, so therefore I won't love anybody. That is a fallacy. That is not really the direction of the Holy Spirit. Because if you are a born-again Christian, one of the first fruits you're really going to see is love begins to change your heart about everything. And it's God's love. And then God's joy fills your life. God's peace in unsettled circumstances. Long-suffering, suffering long, as I like to reverse it. Sometimes we suffer long with people. So it's about relationships. Kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. So all of those are fruit of the Spirit. And I like to kind of go through that list myself when I'm trying to test myself on where I'm at with God. Am I growing in the Lord? Now, if you know people that claim that they know all kinds of Bible verses, and if you were to sit down with them on that list and just say, hey, how much joy is in your life? Not very much. Okay, 40%. Or, okay, how much long-suffering is in your life? Because you're not displaying it right now. Well, let's go to 10% on that one. And you go through, and then you'll find out very quickly how spiritual they are, no matter how much of the Bible they've memorized. So the spirituality is based according to fruit. Jesus even said in Matthew's gospel, by their fruit you shall know them, not by how many scriptures they quote. See, the Bible is known by the devil, and the devil doesn't have spiritual fruit. So he doesn't have a relationship with God at all. So therefore, it's not based on how much scripture you know, but it's based on how much fruit you have, because you abide in the vine. And as you abide in the Lord or in the vine, then his fruit begins to appear in your life and changes begin to happen. Amen? How many of you, since the time you came to know the Lord Jesus, that some of those fruits came to your life and you didn't really try and muster them up, they just began to happen? Yeah, of course. I know love was the first one that got me. Being a former Marine and from Vietnam veteran, having serious problems with my own behaviors and also trying to discover who I was in this world, as soon as I found the Lord in my life, all of a sudden I began to love people. I didn't really love them before. And in the natural, I didn't know what love was. But yet, come to find in the Spirit, I began to see it. So praise be to God, God did that. Now, the next thing we're going to do is assess our spiritual gifts. And this is what we're going to do tonight. And in this, there's a tool you have. I want you to pull out that tool or flip over that page, because this is your sheet you're going to write on. I'm going to explain it first of all. It's pretty much self-explanatory, but I find that people sometimes have difficulty with the directions, so I want to help you real quickly. So then next week, we'll go over this a little bit more, so here's what I want you to do. Next week, please bring this sheet, because you're going to need it, and bring your definitions with you. And then we're going to take a simple little one called the DISC system test. And it's not to hire you, it's to really show you your personality, yourself, on how you relate to people. Like if you're extroverted, introverted, it goes through all of this stuff. And then we can then see how it works with the gifts God's given you, because it will influence those particular gifts. Okay, please stand.